Blog Talk Radio.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause.
Pokemon.
You ass.
Pokemon. That was not an error on my end. That was an error on Blog Talk Radio's end. That was an error on my end.
Who am I cursing out? I don't know. Whose fault was
me.
It?
Me.
Oh.
It was
you
me,
ass?
Satish. It was me all along.
I should have known. I should have known from the start.
So, hey guys. And, you know, everyone else, hey, guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host.
It's Tish Ram. Good evening.
And sadly, Tristan Walter could not make it tonight. You know, as you know about, if you've been listening to a lot of our different, you know, podcasts throughout the genres and throughout the shows, you'll know that during our History of Trunks podcast, Tristan was stuck in the future helping fight the androids. You know, just normal stuff that go on, you know, with the Those Guys, you know, podcasters. But sadly, you know, he finished the job, so we're not going to say he did a half-assed job or anything. He, you know, he beat the androids, obviously. Did not account for the fact that Majin Buu is still around in that timeline. So he has to go back and, you know, deal with some stuff. So, sadly, he is unable to make it for our show today. Hopefully, the next time we do a Pokemon podcast, or if I can get him on another Dragon Ball Z podcast or another Bleach podcast, he will be able to be on with us.
Sounds good.
So,
and wishing you
yeah.
well, Tristan, in your battle for humanity.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's funny because even if he loses, we're still fine, in theory, because, I mean, not only is it a separate timeline, as you know, it's just the fact that it's the future. So, in a way, it's not a battle for the future. It's a battle in the future. So we're pretty good right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, all things considered, I mean, it's a shame that he can't make our podcast, but, hey, you know, some people just don't have priorities in check, I suppose, in terms of, you know, fighting to save the world or our podcast. I mean, seems
yeah,
like an easy
arguably,
decision to me.
Yeah, I would have to be honest. Yeah, I mean, it's not even fighting to save the world. It's fighting to save their world. Our world currently is just fine. And you know what's even more interesting is that, you know, he was able to go back right at the moment he ended up leaving. So it's kind of, you know, funny how people always forget that. This, for some reason, it's like, oh, you're going to, you know, they, like, you know, oh, no, I waited so long. You could have just time-traveled right to the exact point that you left. So he was able to do that. However, he did not account for the fact that he could have left at any time.
Including, you know, after our podcast. But, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know,
but again,
nuances, right? I mean, let's just,
you know, timey-wimey. You know, but, you know, what matters today is that we're talking about Pokemon Crystal, right, what we enjoyed, some of the cool stuff, you know, behind the scenes that you might not know about. And also what's interesting is that, you know, both you and I are on the show. Satish, it's just you and I.
Seems so. I'm all right with that. I mean,
I can show you the world.
Damn it.
Shining, shimmering, splendid.
I pushed the wrong button. I pushed the wrong button.
Sure. Let's go
so
with
anyway.
That.
So anyway, so yes, today we're talking about Pokemon Crystal. And first off, I know you've given your Crystal story before, but I'm wondering, I think you even gave it on the Pokemon Yellow podcast, but my question is, what was your first experience with Pokemon Crystal?
Yeah, because I don't know if I mentioned this on the Yellow podcast, though.
I believe you did.
I haven't owned Pokemon Crystal.
Huh?
Yeah, I haven't owned Pokemon Crystal, actually. And
I'm nervous.
Yeah, no, it was just a matter of just
physically owning,
you know,
by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I haven't played it, been in contact with it, and perhaps played ROMs down the line and stuff, but I've never physically owned a copy of Crystal. And my closer friends at the time did not. So I had limited interaction with Crystal growing up. It wasn't until I was a bit older that I went back to kind of see what the difference was between, because Silver, you know, at the time was my obsession. So I knew Gen 2 to the extent of Silver and Gold basically like the back of my hand. So going back to Crystal was interesting for me around like my mid-early teen years, because I wanted to see what was different about it that distinguished it. Because to me, you know, again, I mentioned this on Yellow, that I didn't have red or blue. So it was just yellow for me. And so there wasn't a big thing for me where I was like, wow, yellow is so different than red and blue. For me, it was just like, wow, I really like Pokemon Yellow. So for Crystal, it was going to be different because I got to sit there and think, okay, I've played through the original versions of these games. What is different now? What can I pick out that's different?
Yes, that's how, you know, after, I think what happened is, you know, with me, I think with Red and Blue, my mother may have got me Red and Blue when I wanted Yellow, and somehow we ended up not returning them. So I had all three, and I saw, oh, these are, you know, the differences, and these are really cool. So, you know, and in this case, I begged my mother, and she was able to give me all three somehow. I don't know. I was so young that I don't know if it was at the same time. I don't know how it was spread out. All I know is I don't have the boxes anymore, and I'm really sad about that. So I have all three games. You know, and of course, if you're thinking, this douchebag. Well, now I just got Pokemon X, literally this month. Let that sink in for everyone. So, you know, it's not that way anymore. I'm not going out there. I wish I was, you know, and I'm definitely going to, you know, keep on replaying through whatever I've missed. But with these three games, you know, I really loved picking out the differences because, you know, there were some pretty, you know, damn good differences between, you know, where you really could play, let's say, you know, Silver and then Crystal and then be playing, you know, a different game. Not completely, but in a lot of little ways that would make the purchase justified, or even just the replay.
Yeah, I mean, part of it immediately was something that we hadn't really seen before, because Crystal was the first game to introduce the animated sprites. And so immediately at the time, that was something that was in its own way revolutionary, because we were okay playing Gold, Silver, Yellow, Red, Blue, Green for some people, just with the normal static sprites, because we thought, this is cool, you know, and all the other stuff about the game. We accepted that. So we saw Crystal's engine be able to use moving sprites. And at the time, that was really impressive.
Oh, yeah. You know, that
alone was very, like, a big difference.
Oh, yeah. There was, you know, that and, I mean, I believe, was it Crystal the first game to introduce the boy and girl mechanic? It was not in Gold and Silver.
Yeah, Crystal allowed you to choose a female protagonist for the first time, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yes. Well, I knew you were able to in Silver. I'm sorry, in Crystal. I was wondering if Silver would as well.
Yeah,
Crystal,
and I believe that her default name is Chris, which...
Got it.
Yeah, I think that's it, if I remember correctly. Her default name is Chris with a K. Or it could be with a C. I'll check into that in a second, because I do not believe our fact checker is around tonight, so I'm going to have to play the role. But never mind.
Wrong.
Fact checker is around. Great to hear from them. So I just
thank you, fact checker.
A few minutes ago. So if you could confirm that for us, because I know that you like Pokemon as much as us. I believe Crystal was the first game to introduce the female protagonist. So
yes. And of course, just overall, we have a lot of things that are, I mean, I would consider revolutionary for, you know, these games. And while I have not played HeartGold and SoulSilver, please don't kill me. I'm getting to it. Don't worry. As of right now, I would consider some stuff that you only see, like, or at least, you know, thus far, you know, like in the sense that, okay, right, you're a kid. So you're sitting there and you're going, oh, yeah, I'm playing a video game and this is new. And all this, you know, like day and night stuff. And you're like, what's day and night stuff? And let's say you started after school. Let's say, right? You start the game after school. I remember, I think I started the game at 6 p.m. So
it
you start the game, and all of a sudden,
go on.
Awesome. and all of a sudden, it's nighttime. And you're like, wait, what? And you're like, does this change? And then you go to bed, and then you wake up the next morning. And yeah, it's morning now. And then the idea that different Pokemon appear at both times, it's just, like, I know games that, like, even let's say, like, you know, Emerald and Ruby and Sapphire do have the day and night mechanic, but it doesn't change. You know, so even that I felt like was a step back from Crystal and, you know, and the other two, where it's just, here is your day, here is your night, it looks different, be happy.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually a big thing for me, which we may have talked about personally, but not on air, because
right.
I wasn't allowed to play my game at night for a very long time.
Aww.
So
yeah.
It was hard for me because of the fact that the Pokedex in Silver, you know, required, of course, all the Pokemon. So I, for a long time, was unable to get my hands on Pokemon like Hoot Hoot, and I was unable to get my hands on a Pokemon like Umbreon. Because you have to train your Pokemon with Happiness in the Night to get Umbreon.
While I'm sad for your plight, Hoot Hoot is catchable during the day, at least in Crystal. The idea is that you headbutt during the day and then they'll be asleep.
Yeah, I hate you.
No, I mean, it could just be a Crystal thing. Like, you know, that's
yeah,
the funny
no,
thing.
It,
where,
it,
again,
it,
the
it
little
is.
Tiny.
It is.
Really?
Yes, I hate you.
Ah. Well, again, little things like that, where just the idea was just like, you know, like the Silver and Gold were not exactly prototypes, because of course they're finished games, but the idea is that the third one comes out and all of a sudden it's just, look at these enhancements, and really, I would say, like, you know, if I had to market this to someone, or someone said, do you really think it's worth it? Yeah, it is. You know, that, I mean, you know, like you said, the moving sprites and, you know, a couple of Pokemon, I'm sure, were changed in location. While we can't confirm which one specifically, obviously that always happens. But I know that, you know, I feel like the playthrough is a lot different. Also, we have ourselves the Dragon's Den, which I believe is not in Silver.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that one is.
Okay.
But there's a difference in design.
Okay, thank you.
But the Dragon's
right.
Den is in there, actually. I can affirm that
okay.
because Silver is my life. But
obviously. Also, by the way, if anyone wants to call in and talk Crystal with us, just either, you know, maybe some cool, again, behind-the-scenes stuff that you might, you know, that we might not know about, anything, you know, anything maybe rumored that, you know, you heard, like, oh, this Pokemon was going to be included, oh, this was going to happen, but didn't work, et cetera, please call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number, 718-664-9468. And Satish, tell them about our other call-in feature.
I will in a second. I just laughed a little bit because of the way you described it. Like, hey, if you heard any rumors or something. And in my head, I laughed because I'm like, sure, people from the 90s and the early 2000s are going to be calling with rumors about Pokemon Crystal.
Listen,
like,
let's
yeah,
be honest
I
here.
Heard
let's
that
be honest.
They're going to be animated sprites. I can't wait for the year 2000.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yes.
If Tristan can go into the future, there's no reason why we can't get calls from the past.
I mean, I suppose if someone, like, you know, before July 29, 2001, which is supposedly the North American release date for Crystal, that
right.
someone from before then could supposedly call us, but then we may get teleported back. But if you want to call us and try to mess with our timeline, 718-664-9468 is, as always, our live call-in number, which you can use to call in and listen to us without having to participate in the show. If you want to call in and just hear us because your internet's down, you can use that number. Don't hit any buttons. You'll be fine. If you do want to participate in the show at any point from whenever you call in to whenever you're listening in, just hit the one button. We get a little marker that alerts us to your presence and that you want to get on the show, and we'll put you right on.
Please don't mess with our timeline. That's enough of that. But I enjoy that. Did you know what that was, Satish?
That sounded very familiar, actually.
Maybe it's better that you don't know. But anyway, so, yeah, if any of you want to call in, you know, I would laugh so hard if one of you, I would laugh so hard if a little boy calls in and just says, yeah, my name is Sammy. Yeah, the Pokedex idea is really cool to me.
Don't do this to them,
I would
Matt.
Love,
don't do this
I would
to
love,
them, Matt.
I would love to make something like
I'm
that.
I'm not
going
to lie, you do this to them, Matt.
Oh man, that would be cool. Goodbye, and then just hangs up. Be so furiously awesome. You know, it would be furiously awesome. You'd be so angry, but you would just sit there and go, "Damn, I appreciate that."
So, Pokemon Crystal was the first game to actually include a battle tower.
Yes, it is, which was very interesting because you know, I thought of you the second I was because I've been to everyone listening. I was doing a playthrough, like a replay through. So I was immediately thinking of Satish when I'm just walking, you know, like I'm walking, it was, north of Olivine. And it's like, that is the battle tower here. And I'm like, dude. Like, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I guess I should go in. And it's really funny how, I don't know if you know this, Satish, in Crystal, it looks like a normal kind of house. And you're like, oh, it's like, you know, or like some kind of weird walkway. And you're like, this is weird, like this is the battle tower. No, it's just like the random little entryway. And then when you go through it, it's like, poof, like, oh, this is the battle tower.
Right, and it was the first game to also include move tutors, something that was actually adapted in terms of like later games as things in relation where the move tutors were in the Battle Frontier or the Battle Tower for the Gen 3 games. So move tutors are a nice little thing because you have some Pokemon competitively. It's a big important thing. And I know nothing about the Gen 2 competitive scene. I've admitted to this before, or if there even was a competitive scene in Gen 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, it, just thinking back, I mean, in terms of move tutors, that's a big thing now because you look at Gen 5, you know, black 2, white 2, and there are some move tutors there that allowed some Pokemon the chance to pick up some moves that they actually never had the chance to, but were able to learn. So, like, hypothetically, you could hack those moves onto the Pokemon, but because they weren't accessible in any other way for some of them, it just wasn't legal. You know, so, you know, move tutors were a big thing, so it was smart of them, and this was the first time that they actually put one in a game. And, yeah, the Battle Tower, as you mentioned, it wasn't, you know, as grand as we see it now to be. And, you know, the remake of Gen 3 coming out soon will probably have it be an incredible look, but it was just the house.
Well, no, the house was, again, I think the entry, well, you know what? I would fire up Crystal right now if I could, but I cannot. But what I want to say is it was a house, I believe, until it was just like, wait, no, it's an entryway. Wait, oh dear God. Like, there was more to it, but at first you're just, you know, the entry to get in, right? Not to the tower itself, but to, you know, the way into the tower, you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's like a house. And then it's just, nope, they just didn't know how to make it. Like, they were just like, how do we make this with the limited, you know, tiles that we have? House?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very interesting. Also, another interesting thing, there is a lot of differences between the Japanese and the American version of all three games in this gen.
God, one of them being the most glaring thing that pissed me off for years.
Is it the Pokemon mobile system?
No, we never got the Celebi event.
Ah, yeah. Well, that is because... Oh, wait a minute. Well, I mean, you could, but... Okay, we got it through the New York Pokemon Center.
Yeah, but it really... I don't think that it actually worked. No, we actually got that event?
Well, we had the ability to get Celebi. I don't think maybe we didn't get a specific event, if they were able to trigger a specific event, but we were able to get Celebi during the opening month. But mind you, opening month, November, December 2001, I personally was nine.
Are you sure about that?
According to our sources for all of our backstage, you know, stuff, you know, behind the scenes stuff regarding this game, yes.
Because I was absolutely certain that the GS ball was unavailable in America without a cheating device.
That's what I'm saying. The ball itself may have been unavailable, but they could have given you the opportunity to get Celebi. Just like you're
able to get
Mew. That's
what I'm talking about, the
Celebi event. Giving you. Ah, okay. That's what I'm saying. I don't think the event was available to us, but the idea of the Celebi itself was still
I don't think the Celebi event was available for us either.
The Pokemon was available is what I'm trying to get through. The Pokemon itself was available.
I think so.
Okay, you want to dispute our sources? I mean, I'm not, you know, I wasn't there. So, okay.
No, I don't really remember it being there. I mean...
No, well, again, according to our sources...
I mean, I know for certain that we couldn't get the...
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there were some sweepstakes and stuff going on to, like, random kids.
Yes.
But it wasn't much. I mean, I guess it had to have been available because I know that it was around, but I know for certain that the GS Ball event or that whole little thing wasn't available for us. That much I can confirm.
Yes. Well, I know, of course. And I'm,
or at least,
you know,
I can't say
not...
confirm. I'm basing it off my memory, which is, of course, you know, legendarily shoddy.
And again, in no way am I going against that specific thing. What I'm saying, again, the quote is
that
players
Selby
in the U.S.
was available. And
also
I agree
have
with,
the ability
yeah.
to get Selby. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
but I'm
no,
sure
we
that
have
the
to
event
have
was
ability
not.
To get Selby. But the whole little Alex Forrest event with the Shrine and the GS ball, we couldn't get the GS ball without hacking. And
right,
I had no access to any kind of cheating device at the time. So for years it kind of irked me.
My question to you, actually, now that you bring that up, what cheating devices were available at the time? I mean, are you sort of referring to GameShark and things
mm-hmm.
like that, that, you know, were available?
GameShark was around back then.
Right,
I don't know if Action Replay was. It may have been. I know Action Replay was around for Game Boy Advance, but I know that GameShark was around for... In fact, I still have what is a now, because I stumble upon it in the future through a friend, a Game Boy Color GameShark.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
I say hilarious in the sense that, you know, I mean, I, like, okay, just to put something out there for people, I, in the past year, have bought an Action Replay for my Game Boy Advance. Now, before you start laughing, understand that I can do shiny playthroughs of certain, you know, of certain GBA games, and then, of course, you know, import them, and they're completely legal because of it, right? And,
I mean,
you know, and it's not even pretty.
Stretching the realm of legal, but yeah.
Right, stretching the realm of legal. But, of course, mind you, also know that I'm not into competitive battling. So this is literally just for me to go, ooh, shiny, on multiple levels. Just, ooh, shiny. So it is, you know, so I'm not, like, taking these and, you know, and doing very terrible things with them, destroying the, you know, it's just, I just would like to collect some shiny.
And
very
for
nice.
The record, none of
right.
the shinies that Matt is talking about are, of course, being given away in our giveaway. Those
well, that's
are all,
pretty obvious. Those are from
yeah,
your
those
collection,
are all newer
and you've
Pokemon
never done
anyway.
Anything like that.
Those
what?
Are all newer Pokemon anyway, but
right.
those are
yeah.
all six. Those are six Pokemon from me personally, and
yeah. Yeah.
it just cracks me up a little bit to think, like, wait a minute, did they think I? No. I'm
well,
those
we,
are all
well,
from
again,
my...
like you mentioned, we actually can't do that. They don't come from the Game Boy Advance, you know, generation.
Yeah, I mean, besides the obvious fact that they are later Pokemon.
Right. But, no,
yeah.
but that's. I would also like to mention that I haven't even done it just yet because of the fact that I'm very busy replaying Crystal, which I just got to Kanto.
Play X, you bastard.
I am. I'm getting there, man. I'm getting there, man. Man.
Matt's never going to get there, man.
Nah, I'm going to be there by the time we do the show on X, man.
By the time we do the show on X, / like when Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are out. That's just great.
Yeah. But anyway, totally right there. Anyway, so but speaking of the okay, so we're telling people that we didn't get the GS Ball event. However, not only did we not get that event, the Pokemon, you know, the Goldenrod Center, the Goldenrod Pokemon Center was actually changed accordingly. So it was turned into like a normal Pokemon Center just like the others. But apparently, right, in the
yeah,
Japanese
Japan,
version,
it's like this huge communication hub, isn't it?
Which, yes, which makes a lot of sense because it, I mean, of course I didn't know this as a kid, but I think somewhere in my brain I knew. And what I knew was is that it felt weird to have a normal Pokemon Center in the same place that we have the huge department store. Right. So
yeah, I
in
mean,
a way,
Goldenrod was
sense.
Supposed to be a special town, and it was supposed to
exactly.
be the big city, the radio tower, and all that. So,
yeah.
definitely, I understand what you're thinking there.
Yes, but it's very, you know, again, interesting that we didn't get that because of the fact that, you know, I mean, it looks so nice and it looks so cool, and it's just nope, not happening.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, there were also just
yeah.
a general amount of aesthetic changes from. Not even just the Japanese version, but just from gold to silver. You know, there were different
mm-hmm.
patches of grass added,
right.
like some more Pokemon were made available, just for, you know, their decisions. And it was, I think they were all considered good things. I mean, nobody sat there and thought, why did you change Route 7? It was perfect,
right.
you know? But,
yeah, right.
you know, we definitely, you look ahead to just Crystal versus Crystal in terms of the Japanese versus what we got. And it sometimes makes you, like, upset a little bit at night because not only do they get the games earlier, they apparently get more than we do.
Yeah, especially when, you know, I mean, I guess I understand that, you know, maybe at the time mobile phones were a lot bigger there than I think they were here. I mean, I don't know exactly why they would. I mean, maybe that's why, you know, but
God knows,
just,
honestly.
Yeah,
I just think
I would assume that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking obviously very ethnocentrically, just like, darn the Japanese for getting more stuff out of their game. Why don't we get exactly what they got? You know? But,
well, no, here's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't even say it's that, you know, that bad, because you're not asking for more than they got. You know, you're just asking for the same.
No, I just
which,
wanted what they
you know,
got.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's that, and you know, and I understand that. I mean, the idea that you know, you even look at something, let's say like you know, Diamond, and it's just you know, and another reason why too, I'm going after you know, I got the Action Replay is not to you know say yeah, screw the system. No, it's the idea that I can't get a Lugia and a Ho-Oh through the game anymore, through Fire Red or Leaf Green, or whatever other Gen 3 games that you decided. You know what? Just throw them in there. Just throw them right in there. Right, so I wasn't able to get, you know, those things legitimately because I believe they had the events at one point or another. But obviously, you know, it's basically a here you get it or you don't. Same thing with Diamond, where actually in Diamond, I believe there was no way to get any, you know, to get a lot of the events, the event Pokemon, without hacking. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, yeah, there was some stuff going. I mean, I don't. Diamond and Pearl was interesting, Jen, because there was also a lot of stuff to do with the underground. Which is something
right.
that I honestly have no experience with. So,
of course.
Because I didn't, I owned a Pearl for a bit from a friend, but I passed it on to another friend of ours, Blaine. And she's had my Pearl and she's played through it. But I've never really played through Pearl, so I know very little about it. But I do know that some, like, the event Pokemon like Arceus and Darkrai were,
yes.
and Shaymin. Were often hacked in because, like, the availability of a Game Shark or an Action Replay was much more available for pretty much everyone at that time, and especially the people I knew because, you know, aging with the Pokemon games,
right,
we all kind
of
grew into that era. So
right.
it was available. And there was also a glitch that –
oh, dear.
If you, there was a glitch, but I think it's with Game Shark and stuff, that if you had a limited, like, walk-through walls cheat, you could – you could actually walk your way to where, like, Darkrai and Shaymin would be because
yes,
they were
yes,
on
I've
the map,
that.
So you could glitch yourself
yes.
into doing that, which is
yeah.
nutty.
Oh, yeah. Also, by the way, something that we mentioned last podcast that we want to bring up again, there is still the data of this normal bird Pokemon, you know, type 1 normal, type 2
mm-hmm.
bird, that does not exist. It's in the data. You can find it in the data. I don't know how you can, but you can. And it just doesn't exist. It just was not used. And it's funny because it was also, you know, it was also, and it's a leftover, which is really cool, I think, in a way that, you know, some things are cleaned up and changed, but some things are just left over. As if they were like, oh, let's see how to use this, and then, oh, wait, no, we can't. But, of course, you know, we're just leaving it there for right now. And again, I find that very interesting because the idea of, you know, oh, well, they scrapped it in this game, and they really tried again in this game, but then they went, dang, we have to scrap it. But they leave it in there. You know, a lot different than, let's say, if you're designing a game for your, for a computer game, where you're just like, oh, let me get rid of that data. Like, you're not going to leave, you know, certain pictures in there unless you want people to find them, let's say. Right? You're just going to take
mm-hmm.
them out. But for these games, it's just, just leave it in there. Quick, we got to throw it out. Not as if it's rushed, but just, you know, the schedules for making these video games are very, very, you know, tight. So it's just, you know, a lot of times things get scrapped. A lot of times things get, you know, changed up. And, you know, and while I'm upset we didn't get the GS Ball event, I'm sure it must have been very hard to just go erase all of it. And of course, if you know anything about, you know, packing these you know, these files up and everything, it isn't just like a Word document when you're like, oh, yeah, just erase that, you know, this line of text, and then you're fine. You can save it. No, I'm sure some work had to be done. Where it was like, erase all of it. What is it? Well, now everything's exploding. Literally. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, you've erased all of it, and you're supposed to do that, so find a way to fix the rest of it. Okay, thanks. You're being paid for this. You know, it's just, it's pretty stressful, I would say. As someone who's tried to hack, you know, ROMs and stuff, it feels pretty stressful that it's just like, I want to change what this person says. I want to change the area of the town. Why is my game, you know, why is my game attacking me? Literally, it's just game sensitive.
Yeah, I mean,
why is it?
There's a lot of fun intricacies when coming to, like, working with hacking and stuff like that. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
that's not the object of today's podcast, but, you know, you know that I've worked on a Pokemon Black hack and I have experience with, like, working with those. And that was hard enough as it is, you know, working with through my friends, trying to figure out where to find these things. And then it felt great when I found the text because I just sat there and made a complete mockery of it. It's like, hello, I'm Professor Dix. And just, that's fun. You know, just became 12 again. What are the stupidest things we can have them say? Well, fuck you, little piece of shit. You think you can have a Pokemon? Oh, my sources are telling me you do get a Oh, you're the main character of this game. Oh. All right, well, the Pokemon are over there. And then just, you know, just trying to have fun. Like, you know, what else can I have them say?
Because
why not?
Because text is a lot easier to edit, let's say, than, you know, than the actual. Because once you get to black, it, basically,
overworld,
I mean, you look at the hacks. Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about hacks today, right? But just a quick little thing. Once you get to black and you try to play hacks or black, it's basically just, we've made the game harder. What about, like, changing up everything and changing up maps and maybe adding in new Pokemon or old Pokemon? And people sit there and just nod and they go, we made the game harder.
Like, yeah, I mean, because it's weird. Adding in new Pokemon and old Pokemon, that was actually made a little bit easier due to some programming from the Poke community. But, you know, things like overworld editing and sprite editing will always be difficult for those who were not experienced in it. So it always, you know, you come to look at these Pokemon games and look at, A, how far we've advanced. But just the little differences between something like Gold and Silver and Crystal, where, you know, we had these little aesthetic changes. As I mentioned, the animated sprites. I mean, that is still something that amazes me, because even when they made the switch to Game Boy Advance, they couldn't take that over. They had to wait until Emerald to be able to do that again.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that as well. As I was replaying Sapphire recently, I just kind of chuckled because, I mean, the fact that the Pokeball didn't even move, I think, was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it moved, I think, it moved in earlier gens, or, you know, in the, you know, Crystal. It moved in Emerald, but just, you know, in Sapphire, it was just, listen, this, like, we're not talking about Sapphire just yet. That'll be next week, but Emerald. But, you know, those games come with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really felt like, to me, I wasn't the biggest fan of that gen. It felt like, this is the prototype. No, it really is. Like, you know, where I would argue, you know, maybe, and I'd like to hear your opinion as well because you love Silver. Silver can stand on its own, and it doesn't feel like it is the prototype.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something, because they put so much work into Generation 2. That you definitely sat there and felt like this enough. Like, without Crystal, which again was a welcome thing, but without Crystal, Silver and Gold were superb standalone games. And I would argue that Ruby and Sapphire without Emerald were not what Silver and Gold was without Crystal. You know, so I
agree good, not just me.
Yeah,
okay,
because
good.
I can definitely, and especially because, and this is definitely an admittance on my part, I'm definitely biased to Emerald, because for a very long time, Emerald was actually, after Silver, my favorite game in the series. I thought it was absolutely incredible because, first off, you return the animated sprites. You add to the story to basically influx and, fuse the two stories from Ruby and Sapphire into one game. And you've provided the Battle Frontier, which is, for the, you know, since Gen 2, it was basically a new set of gyms. In the similar way that Gen 2 provided us the original Kanto gyms, they basically sat there and gave us a new set of extremely challenging gyms that weren't just go back and kick their asses. It was do these tasks. And it was innovative to me. You know, Battle Frontier was a big selling point. So I can definitely look back now, of course, hindsight being 2020, and say that Ruby and Sapphire were a prototype for Emerald, because Emerald blew it out of the water, I think, with Ruby and Sapphire. And Crystal, while it was also very good, was working with something that was also equally near perfect.
I agree. We're done, everyone. Go home. But jumping back to Crystal, there are a lot of very interesting things that
apparently I've pissed off our fact checker, by the way.
Oh. Well,
don't know what I did.
I mean, you probably did something. You know, like, I mean, you probably, because our fact checker, she's very level-headed. We probably did something.
Our fact checker is level-headed?
As much as I know, I would say she's level-headed.
They're a fireball. They're an enigma. The reason I allow them to be part of us is because they're dangerous, unstable even.
So, Maddie, have you ever named your mother? Because in Crystal, there was a chance you could name your mother.
You mean the person that stole all your money and then randomly spent it on super potions?
Yeah, it's very interesting that they gave her that characteristic, by the way. Where you
I
sat
mock,
there and you were just like...
I mock that so much because...
Yeah.
First off, the general joke, and this has always been consistent in the Pokemon games until maybe the later gens, your house in the game is the living room, the kitchen, and your room.
Oh, I know what you're going to go with.
Your mom seemingly has no place to sleep, but...
Yeah,
you know,
so maybe you should stop being an ass and let her buy your super potion. Maybe.
That's what I mean. And what's funny about it is, and this was a trend that they continued from Gold and Silver, is that when she would offer to buy you items, they were usually at a discounted rate as to what you would normally have paid for them.
Oh, I did
so
not notice.
Letting her buy those items actually worked out better for you. And she sometimes bought you some items that you normally wouldn't have been able to get that easily or something like that.
Right.
Because she went to the department store and they had, like, a sale on a rare candy or something.
Or Pokemon dolls.
Or Poke Dolls, which, you know, which is pretty cool. I mean, so it's just funny because you definitely couldn't name your mom in the first two games of the gen. You're right. And I don't know, did you just name her mom or?
Well, no, I mean, you couldn't. It's actually it's something that was unused.
Ah.
Yes.
Darn.
But, yes.
It almost hurts.
It's okay. Yeah. But, yeah, basically, I mean, it's a way where, okay, so apparently it says, this is what I'm reading this. Naming the player's mother is fully functional in Gold and Silver. However, during the dude's Pokemon catching tutorial, the player's name is copied to the RAM location of the mother's name, hence implying that the player names his mother at a stage where the tutorial cannot be accessed anymore. So, in other words, it's still there, but it can't be accessed.
Look at that.
Yeah,
you learn something
that's what
every
I was
day.
Saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying. So it's always, hey, look, mom, whatever. But there was a point in development where it was just, should you name your mother? And I think they all just laughed. And were just like, you know what, maybe not. Like, for a split second, they were like, maybe, no. But again, very interesting. And just, you know, the idea of, you could name your mom. It's a thing. You could, if you really wanted to. Like, imagine, like, I just go up to my mother, and I'm just like, you know, I'm like, you know, hi, Sam. And she's like, my name is Nancy. Not anymore. And just walk away. Like, just, by the way, very interesting thing. There is an unused room in Professor Elm's lab. And you go into it, and you can see your mother in there. And you go, Mom, why is... She's like, well, I have a bed here.
That's terrible.
Also, that's a joke. Here's why that's a joke, and here's why that's somewhat relevant. So I did start X. And I mentioned this last week on our Yellow show. I just find it really funny, where it's just like, hey, look, the professor has a letter for your mom. And you look at it, and you're like, I want to open up and read it. No, you can't. No, I don't think you understand. No, you can't. All right, this is pretty important. What are you saying to my mother? Just wants to take it, you know, just wants to take her out on a date. Why? No.
You're horrible.
So the idea of just like, where does my mother sleep? Professor Elm! What if that's just been a common theme throughout the entire, all of the games, and we just didn't realize it? Like, where does your mother, you know, in the games that you don't have a father.
I feel uncomfortable and somewhat guilty. Now I feel bad.
No.
In my head, now the mother has a bed in the house. That's it. She's there, and she's a wonderful character.
Well, no, I'm wondering if that was Japan. I'm wondering, though, if, like, you know, Nintendo understood how that looked after years, right? They heard all the jokes. Because, obviously, you know, I mean, Japan is just as witty as we are, if not more. So, of course, they make the jokes as well, just in Japanese. So you know, on Japanese message boards and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure Nintendo caught whiff of this. At least at one point, it just went, damn it. So they just threw that in as a joke, where it's just like, you know. I mean, of course, the mom also has a room in X, correct?
I believe so, or at least, you know, the house isn't completely explored, so.
Right. But anyway, yes, so again, you can name your mother. Also, you also have more field move entries, apparently. So in other words, if you use Game Shark or something like that to, you know, click, you know, like basically make the entry available, when you click on your Pokemon and see something like, say, like Cut or Payday or Flash, right, one of them says error.
That's interesting.
And it doesn't work, but it, you know, so there's that. But the fact that is that it, you know, it existed. There's that.
This reminds
there's
me
also,
of something rather what? Stupid, though.
Please tell.
You know, Splash was available in both Gen 1 and Gen 2 early, and
right.
Magikarp would be able to use it. But I think other Pokemon like Hoppip and some others received Splash in Gen 2. And
oh yes.
I used to headcanon like the move Splash because in my head, the people at Pokemon would not have created a game that had a move that did absolutely nothing. Because now I didn't understand the things like Tail Whip and Growl because it's like his attack was reduced or his defense was reduced. And, you know, I can sit there and think, well, I guess that does something. You know, so that's a tangible effect. But
right.
It would just be Splash. And it's like, but nothing happened. And in my head, nothing could not happen there. Like, something had to happen. And I had all these headcanons about, like, specific, like, events that would happen. And I remember one where I was just sitting there in my head, like, Splash, nothing happened. Except against Mewtwo. It's Mewtwo's one weakness. And
yeah, right?
It's like, thing that I definitely remember. And I, you know, I don't remember much of my childhood, but I definitely remember clinging on to Splash thinking, this has to do something. And just trying it in these really ridiculous situations. That, and since we're talking about Gen 2, abusing
right.
the move Metronome, which I thought was one of the most amazing things. Like my Togetic
yeah.
would use Sacred Fire. There was a perverse sense of amusement for me. Just
yes.
like, yes.
Yes.
You know, Togetic, surf, do things that you would never be able to do normally. Why is this possible? Like, it just, it confused
yeah.
me because the
and
idea of like, surf confused
and then
me anyway.
Right? It's just Metronome, Togetic, use Tail Whip. Nintendo laughed. You know?
No, and,
like just,
and there would also
yeah.
be some crazy ones where it's like, Togetic, use Explosion. No! Not now! No!
You've unlocked memories of me as a child using Explosion and getting very, very angry. Very, very angry.
I was very scared of those moves because knowing Lavender Town and, you know, the idea that Pokemon could die, I was under the impression that by using that move, it was basically like Vegeta's final explosion. And they would just become unusable for the rest of my game.
Well, but it's okay, because they're just fainted.
Yeah, the only
reason
I learned that was because Togetic used Explosion as a result of Metronome, I believe. And then I had to realize it wasn't dead, it was just fainted.
That's nice. Also, you think about it, right? You know, unless you had Pokerus, then you're dead.
Pokerus was described as a disease. I think they describe it as like an extremely scary disease in Crystal and Gold and Silver.
Okay, because I think they did, but for me, I just noticed that, you know, I'm walking around, and as a kid, I believe my Crobat had Pokerus, and I was just so scared for it. And then I think we've learned that it's actually a way to give your Pokemon better stats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. No, because I was confused.
You don't know what Pokerus is.
I just know that my Pokemon got it, and I got so nervous, and no matter how many times I put it through the Pokemon Center, it would never get rid of its Pokerus.
Oh, this is funny, because this is why, for a second, I'm like, you know, Matt has a leg up on me, because he's, like, using the cutting room floor, and he knows more of Crystal than me. But Pokerus is actually
Pokerus
more
is not on there.
Yeah, because Pokerus is a competitive thing, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. What Pokerus does is that, by the way, I believe that it's actually more rare than getting a shiny Pokemon. So, you
wow.
know, you getting Pokerus, it's like 3 in like 65,000, dude.
Wow.
So, you know, most people actually never encountered it until like Gen 4 or 5 because the rate went up. And also the fact that, you know, GTS allowed you to trade with other people who had
right.
them. So people kind of spread
right.
the virus to the world. But
that's frightening.
Oh, no. It's a good virus, though. Because what
right.
Pokerus actually does is that if you were to kill something and you'd be getting, like, one speed EV from it,
yes,
you'd actually get two. You got
so
double
then,
whatever you'd get normally. The only problem
so,
was
Right.
Their description of it in the localization, and you know, I think Maddie
makes it sound
so frightening. Might be able to help us out. I believe it was, there are small life forms inhabiting your Pokemon, and I would throw my game against the wall. I never had Pokerus, but I can imagine that I would have done that. Just throw my game against the wall, like, how terrible am I?
Yeah, I felt like a bad trainer. I felt like the situation in the beginning of Pokemon where Pikachu was, you know, was like, yo, Ash, why'd you do that to your Pikachu? You got to bring it to the Pokemon Center. You know, oh, you're such a jerk, you know, that kind of situation, because it felt like my Pokemon had Pokerus, and now it's going to die.
Yeah, I distinctly remember people talking about Pokerus saying it would make your Pokemon stronger. Now, I didn't understand EVs at the time. So I remember I spent days trying to get it, because some people talked about it potentially being easier to get in certain areas.
Right.
That was just totally not true. I never got it. I actually didn't encounter Pokerus until Gen 4, because it wasn't until Soul Silver that I encountered Pokerus, and it was through the benefit of the GTS.
Yeah. That is cool.
So, you know, it points out, I don't think I've ever gotten Pokerus, actually, on my own through the wild.
It may, and I'm just bringing it out there, may have been easier in Japan with the idea that they can trade better than we can, with the idea of, you know, like mobile networks and things like that. So, because think about it, right? You talk about the competitive scene, right, in Gen 2, and they added Pokerus. So, and I know you could say, oh, it's hard to get, but also in America, the way we traded involved link cables. You know, and also as kids, we may have just traded for the basics. You know, like, oh, I want to get this Pokemon to complete my Pokedex, right? So, again, I'm not saying anything crazy like how, you know, how great and you know, again, how nuts the competitive scene is now. I say nuts in such a, you know, a good way. But think about back then, you know, there could have been older people who maybe they played Pokemon Yellow in their teens. Or, you know, again, you know, in Japan, it's a bit different when it comes to certain games and things like that, where I feel like they're a bit more accepted than they can be here. So, a bit more. Nothing, you know, because, of course, the, you know, otaku, the word is not used in a good light over there. So, but still.
Yeah, but,
you know, yeah.
It's true. I mean, the thing is, though, it was still definitely a ridiculously small chance. And, you know, Maddie's just come through here. 3 in 65,536. So.
Right.
That runs out to like 1 in about 22,000. It's about 3 times harder to get a, you know, considering now what the numbers are,
right.
3, even 4 times harder to get a Pokerus, get Pokerus than get a shiny.
But you mentioned how in the newer games they can spread the virus, right?
Oh, you can spread them in the old ones too, I believe. But you can spread them by putting, if you do battle with the Pokemon, like your Pokemon in the third slot has Pokerus, and then you go to fight. You can, you know, ideally infect everyone else in your party. And, you know, it's much more understood and accepted now. Gen 2, apparently, according to Maddie, your Pokemon appears to have tiny life forms stuck to them, was the Pokerus text. And Elm would say, it doesn't seem to do anything and it goes away with time. Although that doesn't really ease my fears, because I can sit there and think, like Matt, let's say I had a dog, right? So I've got a dog.
Right.
And then I've got a dog with small life forms attached to it. And I think to myself, you can tell me, it doesn't do anything and it goes away with time. But I'll look down at that dog and see small life forms and think to myself, as I did with Splash, it has to do something.
Yeah.
And then I would live in fear. So I'm actually
also
very much pleased that I didn't get Pokerus.
Yes. Also, you know the name for Flash. I'm sorry, for Flash. Wow. You know the name for Splash, right? Like the Japanese name?
Not at all.
Hop.
Hmm.
That's why, from what I've heard, Hop is the name because of the fact that, you know, you look at something like Hoppip or other certain Pokemon that aren't really water types, and you're like, why the hell are they using Splash?
That makes sense based on the animations that the move has received over time. Because it's more of like just a useless, like, toy, 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 move back and forth.
Yeah,
and it's like, what happened?
Yeah. And you could see that, you know, and this is just my speculation now. You can see that because of, you know, they gave it to Magikarp, let's say, because they're like, oh, the water Pokemon is using Splash, you know, whatever.
Out of
and,
water,
yeah.
It's hopping around.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, But, you know, then all of a sudden, in Japan, it's given the Pokemon like Hoppip. And especially a Hoppip, it's like, Hoppip uses hop. You're like, son of a... Because Japan is very, very good with the wordplay. They love it so much. So, right, Hoppip used hop. So, you know, yeah, they didn't use it as hop.
That's cool.
They used it
nice
as
to know.
So, yeah. Also, by the way, do you know who Mr. Chrono is?
I'm going to say no.
It's a leftover script in New Bark Town, where
does it have something to do with changing the time?
Yes, the developers
there
put it there, so that it's a clock. It's like a, you know, it just shows up, you know. But it's really cool because he literally says, "I'm Mr. Chrono," and you're like, "Hello." It's
yeah,
actually
which I assume
dude,
has something to do with chronological.
Yeah, no,
the
it,
word
it,
chronological.
It,
yeah.
Yes, it is the dude who is there, who's like, you know, there's like a one dude there, and I forgot what he said specifically. But he, when he's there when you walk out of your house, you can give him the, you know, the code, but it's really, or, you know, you can unlock, you know, you can redo the code and then it'll appear with him. But it's really funny to me because in that way, it's just like, again, you talk to him normally. Hi, how's it going? Professor Elm's pretty cool. All he ever says, talk to him one day. Hello, I'm Mr. Chrono. Like, hi, would you like to know the time? No, I'm pretty good, man. I mean, how now on debug? Nah, dude, I'm going to go. Would you like some poke arrows? Get the hell out of here, man!
Debug.
Run for your life! Get the hell out of there! He's a freaking Terminator! But
what are the little chubby dude sprites?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, one little chubby dude just you know, it's just, hello, I'm Mr. Chrono. Yeah, I'm just gonna go, man. But yeah, so there's Mr. Chrono, which I think is funny. Sweet Honey. I didn't mean to do that. Sweet Honey is basically was supposed to be like a kind of like headbutt type thing. You know,
yeah,
it was like,
which they picked that up in Gen 4.
Yes, as what was it? As
honey.
In the form of just honey. Yes.
Yes.
But which again, really cool in the sense that, you know, it's just, oh, look at this right here. Have this, and it's just like, wait, never mind, we can't do that. But it's always in their heads. You know, they always have these notes. They're just like they always. It feels really cool in a way where they just write down their notes and just go one day, right?
No, there's continuity with everything. Like in fact, yeah. This is. I don't know where this is confirmed from, but Pokemon Crystal in the works was actually being called Pokemon X.
That's funny.
Which, you know, of course, was already taken. You know, taken later on, but. You know, it's just fun to look back at this stuff. I mean, it's hard. You know, we've got we had an hour here, and we sit there, and you want to talk about Crystal, and it's hard because what do you talk about? Do you talk about the story again? Like, do we freak out about Gen 2 all over again? Because it's difficult to sit there and look back and think, what do we do in an hour about this game? Because there's so much. You know, in certain cases,
yeah,
we sit there with like TV shows, and we're like, oh man, you know, it was so good, and we're just done in like 15. And we just have to work it out. But here, it's just a matter of too much, where there's so much that we could talk about. Like, I haven't even got to mention that one of the things that used to crack me up is that if you chose a female protagonist in Crystal and you traded with Silver, it became a male.
Well, obviously it would have
because,
to.
Yeah, but it just made me laugh because it's like female here, male over here. And it just, thinking back on it now, of course, technologically wise, right?
Right.
In terms of not technologically wise, but just the concept, just one step here, you become a man. Step back, you become a woman. Man, woman, man, woman. And if I'm trading you my Pokemon, man. But if I'm standing over here, woman. That's right. And just walks away snapping, and it's like, but
hi, I'm Mr. Chrono. Like, what are you doing? I'm changing time and space.
Is there anything else crazy off the cutting room floor that you have that might be, you know, that might pique interest?
I think Shiny Mew is interesting because, of course, as we know, for the sake of consistency, every Pokemon has to be a Shiny. However, there is really no way to ever get a Shiny Mew legitimately.
That does remind me of something, though, in that game. Japan actually received something that we, I am certain, did not. In the case of, you know, the Celebi thing, which I'm still, I believe you're right on. We got Celebi, but not, we're both right. You got Celebi, but not GS Ball. But, and this I can't confirm, but I think so. I remember reading this on Bulbapedia a little while back, that they got something called the egg ticket from the daycare guy. And you could actually take that egg ticket to the Goldenrod Center or something of the nature, and you would get an egg holding a shiny Pokemon that would had a baby Pokemon that knew Dizzy Punch.
That's interesting.
And
it
I think
sounds
that was
very
something
complicated.
That only they got, but we did not at all. We got.
I feel like
you know,
I feel like it would have something to do with the mobile system as well, because that's the thing, Goldenrod. I feel like they had a lot of really cool things, but they have to involve, you know, the mobile, you know, that command center type thing.
Yeah, I mean the thing for I know that they, I think it was what you talked about before, where just cell phones weren't that popular at the time compared to, you know,
Japan.
Here. Yeah,
yeah,
like the cell phones were more popular in Japan in terms of, and actually what it was, the fact that there were more versatility in cell phones here than there were in Japan, so that the system may not have worked with all of them.
Right. Yeah, that would have been hard, is where imagine just, you can connect to your cell phones, but only specific ones. And it's like, you know, imagine having to now tell kids, go get a cell phone, like, you know, like, or whatever. So go get a cell phone that works only like this. Tell your parents that their cell phone is terrible, kids. You know?
Mm.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Also, apparently, there was the Japanese version had something called Mobile Stadium, which was disabled for us. Yes.
I'm listening.
That's all I can tell you. Like, the idea
Thanks.
That they
Thanks.
Actually... Yes, that's all
yeah.
I can tell you. That's all I know. All I can no, what I can tell you, which is really funny, is that Mobile Stadium is not there, right? But apparently they translated it just for, like, you know, so that it fit, like, you somehow turn the thing on that it doesn't crash. And it's Mobile Stadium.
Study-em?
Yes. No, study-em.
Gotta study them all.
Gotta study them all. I mean, obviously, I would assume that, again, mobile, you know, that also involves phones and things like that. That's what I was trying to say. Like, I think maybe, well, you know, of course it's hard to get, okay, you get Pokerus, right? How do you spread the virus? That's a scary sentence. How do you spread the virus, right? For us, it's just, well, you know, you can spread it to your party, but then it's just how do you take it to the next level? You got to get a friend over for a link cable? I guess in Japan it was a lot easier with using your mobile phone.
Yeah,
and,
but it also still cracks me up, though. Bro, you want to get drunk and have our Pokemon get sick? Yeah! I assume that's what teenagers in Japan were doing at the time. Not the younger kids, because the younger kids didn't drink. They're good people. They were all scared
right,
by the Lavender Town Syndrome, so they obviously weren't drinking.
Oh, no, not at all. But yes, also there is something called mobile. So, and again, just like Mobile Stadium, we didn't get it. But yeah, I think we're at the end of our show. And it's strange how we didn't have as many, you know, facts and stuff like that. But, I mean, I think this game was very straightforward in what we got compared to, let's say, Yellow, where you mentioned it. And I want to be like, Satoosh, but I guess I can see your point. Where in Yellow, it was just coded very badly. So there was a lot of really cool, fun. I mean, there's glitches in this game as well, but a lot of really cool, fun ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, guess what? You can get this. You can get that. You know, I'm really – I mean, one funny thing here is it's called the Daylight Savings Date Trap, where this is where
trap.
Okay, so yes, few players have encountered it, right? But if you enable daylight savings time, and you know when the game started, and so when the game started and you got the setup of the poker gear and everything, you set up daylight savings time, and you attempt to change it at a time that would result in the day of the week changing, right? So if you're like 11:59 or 10:59, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to disable or whatever, right? The mother states, and this is, I see the pictures right here. I lost the instruction booklet for the Poke Gear. Come back again in a while.
Wow.
And it's a really fun, I consider it a really just fun glitch. Because again, it's just like, you know, if you do it at that specific time, and very few people have encountered it, but I guess maybe very few people have tried to do that. Or the fact that maybe some games just don't have it. Because, you know, some games, you know, not all games end up having, you know, kind of glitches and whatever. But anyway, so, yes.
Oh, issuing a fact correction before we go. Yeah, before we
oh.
jump into our – which I assume you're going to get me to talk about the giveaway again.
Pokemon giveaway, quickly.
Yeah, but real quick, actually, fact correction. So Maddie's informing me. We got the Odd Egg in Crystal, too. We didn't get it in Gold and Silver. We got it in Crystal. And it had a 14% chance of being shiny in the North American version, 50% shiny in Japan, which is what my my error was, thinking that. In fact, I think I know somebody with a shiny Smoochum. If it's not you, Matt, it would have been my friend Blaine, who had a shiny Smoochum,
right.
But I think Punch.
Your friend, Blaine.
But anyway,
so quickly.
Yeah,
giveaway.
Of course, follow us on Tumblr, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. If you happen to share that post on Facebook about our giveaway, reblog it on Tumblr or retweet it on Twitter, you have a chance to win one of six spooky, shiny Pokemon that we're giving away here in this month of October in the spirit of Halloween. Tumblr is our main website, of course. So the links will all go back to our Tumblr website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. You can see that post because we're constantly reblogging it, hoping to give you all a chance to win one of six competitively ready, beneficial nature, and good IVs. Shiny, spooky Pokemon for the month of October.
All right, and thank you guys for listening to those guys. Goodbye, everyone. Pokemon.
Ouch.
Time.
Ouch. Okay, fine. Ow.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was.